The devil, you ain't touching me because I'm delivered. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. I don't care how many people you make to you, how many demons you may orchestrate against my life. But when I look on my side, I can see many angels. When I look on my side, I see Jesus. When I look on my side, I see my forefathers who have gone out to be in heaven. And they're clapping and cheering me up, telling me that you can make it, son. Glory be to Jesus. So we cannot be discouraged. We cannot be weary. But we have to search forth. Somebody say, search forth. Yes, S-U-R-G-E, search forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I have something. I want to go a little bit different from what we are used to. Because let me tell you, church, whether we know it or we do not know it, and thank you very much, Jose. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Sister Lorraine. Thank you, JJ. Guys, you're doing an incredible job. And thank you, Pastor Julius, for bringing this team together. The sky is the limit. Amen? Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. You know? And I'm really proud of what you've done here tonight. I feel the presence of God in this place. Amen? And I may call you guys, so don't go away, because I may call you in the middle of this service. Okay? Okay. Hallelujah. Slap somebody's hand. Tell them Jesus is here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to commit this service unto your hands. We want to thank you. We want to lift up your names, O God. You are highly lifted up, O God, beyond our imagination. Our minds cannot even begin to fathom how your greatness is, O God. We are able to see what we are able to see with our eyes. We are able to understand and fathom only by our limited minds. But God, the way you created everything together, oh God, and put everything for our own beauty, we just give you glory and honor and exaltation in the name of Jesus. What is man that you think about him, oh God? Oh, yes, Father, above all the elements, above the great things that you have done, the things that we do not even know, God, what is man that you think about him, oh God? Oh, that the very numbers of his hairs are numbered, the very strands of their hairs are numbered. God, I thank you, because if you care for the sparrow, if you care for the little creeping creatures, oh God, and you provide food for them, how much more we who have been created in your own image and after your own likeness, how much more do we care? How much more do you care for us, oh God? Thank you, Heavenly Father. And you pose a question in your word that, Father God, birds of the air never toil. They never even work hard. But every single moment there is an assignment of provision for each and every bird. How much more, God, you're going to provide for we who are created in your image. More so, we who have come into the new covenant and have become sons and daughters of the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to have our eyes open to the provision. Help us to see the kindness and the mercy that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we exalt you and we bless your name. This we pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Hallelujah. I just want to bring a very unusual, and by me saying unusual is because you've not had a preaching lately preach like I'm going to do here today. We're going to read several scriptures, because many times when we come here, it is good to be encouraged in the Lord. Praise be to God. It is good to hear a message of prosperity, of how you can trust God to move from one place to another place, trusting the Lord. It is all valid. But how many of you know that sometimes it's good to come together as a house and really evaluate and see what is happening in our lives and speak about it? I have an obligation as the father of this house, when God speaks to me certain things, to bring them to us so that we can be forewarned. Somebody say forewarned. Let me tell you, as a child of God and as a born-again Christian in my life, there's one remarkable experience that I experienced, and my wife can be a witness of this, where Back in the day, I was a pastor and we were doing everything. And there was this lady in the church. She was an intercessor. Okay, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to have to say this morning. She was an intercessor. And so, and I think I've shared this story, you know, before. So don't worry about it. If you've heard it before, don't worry about my recycled story, because it's going to help somebody who has not been here. Amen? And so this woman was an intercessor among with the other intercessors. And so she would speak the word of the Lord, and we respected her, and we paid her visits, and we went and respected her for her position to trust the Lord and to intercede and to call upon the Lord. And I was reading my Bible and I was praying, and I was very active in the church. You know, I was going from work to church and to home, from work to church to home, almost on a daily basis. And so I knew I had a habit, you know, made out for me to just search the scriptures and to pray and to do what, you know, you're supposed to do as you seek the face of the Lord. And I remember this morning, one day when I was working in my office, I used to work in a bank. This lady who was part of the group, you know, she had some intercessors that they would gather together and they would come and hold hands together on a daily basis. What they had said about it was that the Lord had spoken to them that, you know, that God was going to kill me. And so, I mean, you know, the Lord was going to kill me at that particular moment. And so this, she said, okay, I want you to go to the bank and I want you to go to Pastor Tony and I want you to tell them what the Lord told us to tell him. And so these people are coming, this girl comes to the office, and I'm busy, you know, doing my work. And she says, hey, Pastor, and I recognize her as one of our members in the church. And she said, I have a very, very important message. And can you just give me 1 minute? And so I had to move and get into an enclosure where she broke the news. Let me tell you, this was the very first time somebody ever told me that God was going to kill me. And so she comes and tells me, you know, we were praying last night, holding hands with the evangelist so-and-so, and this is what the word of the Lord said, that God is going to kill you. On a face value, like just like that, you know, God said that he was going to kill you. But you know what? God can change his mind if you can come and join us so that we can pray, so that God can reverse his idea. And so, in my naivety, I said, my wife, when I went home, I told my wife, this is exactly what happened, and we have to go join this group. And so, because we can plead to the Lord not to kill me at this age, I've not even done anything. And so, this is exactly what we did. So, we went we joined my wife, and every single, we went to that house. And let me tell you, it is very, very possible for your eyes as a child of God to be blinded. We have to be very alert of our surroundings, even as we move serving the Lord. Are you listening to me? Guys, listen. Men and women, you know, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, listen to me very intently. We went to this prayer meeting, and we were joining hands. And you know what? When I went there, I was surprised to find some deacons of the church that I would never even thought that they would be there. Actually, a professor in Egerton University with his wife. And they were joining hands. And so every day we would say, we are binding the spirit of this devil. And she would even call these demons by names. I wondered, how did you know even the names of these demons? Let me tell you, what was supposed to be a prayer meeting, I was so blinded because we were saying, we have to meet here. And it was like a command. You have to come here by 7. Nobody is going to be late. And let me tell you, nobody was late for that prayer meeting. Now, we started praying, and let me tell you guys, this is exactly what was going on. Every time we would go there, we would pray. I've never had people praying like that. And she would say, I have seen the spirit of President Moi hanging like a monkey on top of the tree outside, and we need to burn and bind him. And you know, with my naivety, we would hold hands, we bite that spirit of a monkey that has come in the name of President Moi, we burn you right now, you go wherever you came from. And another time, we would come and you say, I can see the spirit of so-and-so, maybe it could be a counselor, wanting, this counselor has been really working hard in cahoots with demonic powers to come and destroy us. And we would bind it, and he would say, I can see him in the spirit of a Kongomwiko, you know, like what do you call those cockroaches? They're hanging around our roof, our ceiling. And we will burn the spirit of cockroaches and we will send that counselor away. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is always very careful and he's always whispering to you, telling you, what are you doing here? Because I wondered, we never, thank you, I was really looking forward for this. Listen, we never open up the scriptures. All we did was to meet and bind the spirit of a president, the spirit who came in the form of a monkey. And let me tell you, we did this for almost 1.5 months. Pastor Tony, one of the pastors in a church of about 2,000 people. And this we were doing without even Bishop knowing about, you know, we are doing a spiritual warfare. We are praying and we are binding the spirits of monkeys and the spirit of kombomwikos, the spirit of chameleons. In fact, we were binding also the spirit of chameleons. Can you remember those things? Now let me tell you how this thing was blown up into almost into pieces. It came to a place whereby my best couple, who was a very, I consider him to be one of them, the foremost religious people. I mean, not really religious. Men of God who really, this man, you talk to him, you would never talk about anybody. This man would just open up the scriptures when you meet and you'd share and encourage you. You know, have you met this man? You know, when they meet with you, they just want to encourage you. They want to pray for you. They are telling you what are you going on, what is going on in your life so that they can pray for you. This is exactly what this man was. But it came one day when we were praying, and he said, I can see some rats, spirits of rats going under the basement of that brother's house. And I said, wow. And so they said, we have to make a trip to go to Nyahururu from Nakuru to Nyahururu, about maybe 30 miles, to go to the house of my best couple so that we can bind the spirit of rats in that house. Waigwa, you remember Jimmy? Let me tell you, when we went to this house, we told him, you know, of course, when I told him, hey, Pastor, we want to, Timothy, I want to come to visit you with some friends so that we can come with this praying team that we've been coming here to pray with you. I want to say, oh, Tony, as long as you're there, that's fine, because this man trusted me. Now we are getting to the house, and of course, this evangelist, come intercessor, takes over, and he begins to communicate with my friend, and he tells me, Pastor, the Lord, we've been praying very much and we've seen spirits of snakes and rats going under your house. And we need to bind and burn them by the Spirit of God. This man, let me tell you, I think he's like God crazy. I don't know how he communicated with my bishop. And he told him, I think Tony has gotten himself in a cult. You need to be very careful because now he's one of your pastors. He is one of my trusted sons. I don't know what is going with him. He came with the people binding the spirit of snakes and scorpions and chameleons and rats under my house. I've never seen anything like that. And the next thing you know, Bishop Kamau calls me. He tells me, Pastor Tony, what is this that I hear? Man, you know when you're talking to your father, a spiritual father, you have to tell him everything. And let me tell you, when the bishop called me, that's when my eyes opened. I was blinded for 1.5 months. Now, the words of this lady were smooth, and she would not even, let me tell you guys, she would not even raise her voice. She was so gentle the way she talks. Oh, I speak the spirit of a monkey. The spirit of a monkey. And you know, with all the kindness of holiness and the tone of her voice, you'd even honor and respect her. Are you listening to me? But my eyes were opened. I said, God, what did I even take my wife to? And we started in our cleansing service to detoxicate myself and my wife. And let me tell you, from that time, I said, nobody even know, no prophecy, no somebody who comes to say he's a prophet. I will write down the words that they tell me. If somebody says that he's going to come and kill you, nobody can take your life unless God authorizes it. Are you listening to me? The reason why I'm speaking this is because we have been under attack. And let me tell you, listen. The Bible says that in the later days, old men shall do what? Dream dreams. Now, me, I'm not a dreamer. That means I'm not old enough. But young men shall see vision. Sometimes I see vision. But let me tell you, one of the days, I think it was on Wednesday, I had this fascinating dream that I have to share with you guys. And I was sleeping and I pray, I do my devotion and I do everything. But in the middle of the night, I woke up into a place where we were serving. I don't know whether we were witnessing and telling people about Jesus. And suddenly I saw this leopard. This leopard targeted one person, one of us. And I'm not going to tell you who it is. A brother. And of course, this is not exactly in reality. God must have wanted to communicate that message to me, telling me that there is a devil on the loose that we need to watch out. Are you listening? And so, reactionally, all the brothers that were there, because this lion, this leopard, was a very big creature. It was actually a supernormal leopard. And it targeted this brother. We were there. It did not attack me. It did not attack the other brother. But it just targeted. And we started running. And we were hitting it with our feet. And we were trying to kick it. But it would not attack us. But it was attacking this brother. God. And we ran. And we were climbing up somewhere in a lofty place. And we saw this leopard still. This brother was somewhere on the corner. And actually one of us would be actually the ready meat. Rather, he was like just close to it. But this leopard was not targeting this person. It wanted to pursue this other brother. And I woke up and I was shaking and I was praying. And found myself praying in tongues and rebuking the spirit of the devil. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You have been under attack. This is just a representation of people that the devil has selected to come and roll and try to rush them out. You may not be under attack. You may not even realize it. It could be maybe your relationship. It could be maybe your finances. It could be maybe certain things that are happening in your life that the devil has decided to attack. But I say it in the name of Jesus that I'm a more than a conqueror. By the blood of Jesus, I declare that no one will be attacked in this house in the name of Jesus. Because as John the Baptist was in the wilderness, sounding up and warning and saying, 'I am here, prepare ye the way for the Lord.' I said, I have to sound this warning to us. Prepare ye the way for the Lord." You know why the devil would want to attack you? It is because you are doing something for the kingdom of God. The devil will never attack you just because you're sitting down there and come and attack you. No, he is looking for somebody who is well committed to him, because he knows once you get to your destiny, once you are hooked up to the things that you're supposed to be hooked up, his kingdom is going to be in danger. And so he is going to short circuit you. However he is going to do it, whether he is paralyzing your finances, whether he's paralyzing your relationship, whether he's paralyzing your marriage, whether he's paralyzing the activity of your children. Are you listening to me? We've got to be very, very careful. And listen, the Lord led me into a topic that I called seeds of discord. I don't even know how it's connected to this, but that's exactly what I heard from the Lord. Seeds of discord. Are you listening to me? When you open up your Bibles in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let us read there. We're going to read several verses, and I'm not going to keep you too long, but I want you to be very, very attentive, because this message is not coming from me. The Lord spoke it to my heart, okay? Now listen, this is exactly not what I'm going to share, but it's going to form a foundation of what I'm going to speak about, seeds of discord. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. If you're there, say a big amen. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. And such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. In other words, the immorality that we have heard about you has not even been mentioned among the people of the world. In other words, he is speaking to believers. And this is what he says. That a man has his father's wife. Have you ever heard about that? That a man has his father's wife. Verse number 2. And you are puffed up. And have not rather moaned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For indeed, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already judged as though I was present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such as one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? That is very, very important. Verse number 6. Your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, do you know what leaven is? Do you know what leaven is? Chachu. What do you call it in English? In the regular English? Yeast, yeah? That's what you put on a dough, on a wheat dough, and you leave it for some time and it rises. Why do you think it rises? Because it incorporates itself within the dough and makes the dough to be a little bit bigger. Okay? Therefore, purge out of the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you. I've written to you not to keep the company with anyone named as a brother. This is Paul writing this. This is going to be a little bit hard for us today. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. My goodness, that's so harsh, yeah? For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do not judge those who are inside. But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away yourselves, put away from yourselves the evil person. This is very clear. I don't even want to explain it. In other words, Paul is saying this. He says, I'm not saying that you do not cohabit or dwell with people who are sexually immoral or covetous or leverers, who are in the world. Because how are we going to reach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them? Are you listening to me? He's not talking about that. He is not saying that we disassociate ourselves from the people of the world, because that's all they know. But he's saying if there are people among us and we have corrected them and we have told them about what they are supposed to do and they are mature in the Lord and they are still doing these things, the Bible says that we need to stay away from them. Are you listening to me? Okay. Open your Bibles in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6, 16 to 19. Do you still love me, church? Everybody say, I love Pastor Tony, and I have no choice. And I'm not talking about, he is not talking about me. Come on, say that. He's not talking about me. He is talking about those that are outside the church out there. Anyway, guys, I'm not saying that any one of us is involved in this, but I have to do the warning as the Lord told me. Amen? Proverbs 6, verse number 16. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. Come on, say a big amen. There are 6 things that the Lord hates. Okay, are you ready to learn these things? There are 6 things that the Lord hates. 7 that are abomination to him. In other words, the first 6 that I'm going to read here, the Lord hates them. And it doesn't mean also that he loves the 7th one, but he also hates it. But he's just putting it in a context so that you can see the seriousness of how he hates these things in order of the way they have been put up here. Okay, this is what it says. Somebody who has... Okay, and what is an abomination? It is a thing that causes disgust or hatred. In other words, the Lord really, really... It causes disgust to him when he sees it. And it causes a lot of hatred when he sees it. This is exactly what it says. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. The Lord hates this. And a hand that sheds innocent blood. Now, if you see somebody killing people, innocent blood, the Lord hates that. A heart that devises wicked plans. If you have a heart, if you're a person that devises wicked plan against other people, or you're thinking immoral thoughts about other people, the Lord detests that. Huh? Feet that make haste to run to evil. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. The Lord hates that. And one, now listen, this is the seventh one. This is what the Bible says. One who sows discord among brothers. This is what the Lord says, that it is an abomination to the Lord. If there's anybody among the body that sows discord among the brothers, it is, the Lord hates it with a perfect hatred. If you are a person, or if you know a person that causes discord among brothers, the Bible says that we are joined together with cords of love that cannot be broken. But there are people who are bent out there to plant a seed of discord, a seed of disunity, to plant division among the body. Are you listening to me? And let me tell you, the Spirit of God is so faithful. Let me tell you guys, if we can search the Lord with the whole of our hearts, the Lord will reveal you certain things that are not even known by other people. The Lord has been revealing certain things into my heart. And there are people that have been planting seeds of discord in this church. And they may not be within this church, they might be outside this church. Talking about the men of God, talking about, you know, things that are maybe not done right. Let me tell you guys this. If I have known Frank for the longest that I have known him, okay? He knows me. He knows me as a pastor, man of God, and he respects me. And we interact with him. If some decides, you know what? If the devil decides that, you know what? The relationship that exists between Frank and Tony is bent out to create marvelous things and cause an abundance in the kingdom of God and cause chaos in the kingdom of darkness. Do you know what the devil is going to do? He's going to use somebody out there, and maybe a friend of his or a friend of mine, to come and sow discords maybe into his life concerning me or into my life concerning him. And normally what happens, Ambrose, if anybody comes and speaks a negative word concerning a friend of yours, whether you like it or not, it comes to you as leaven. Are you listening to me? It comes to you as leaven. And within time, even having the confidence that you had about that person, when you hear the words, the negative words of maybe something that he did, are you listening to me? That word will begin to gain root into the heart of that person, whether you like it, whether you don't like it. And even though I knew my pastor Francis and I loved him and I loved the zeal and his loyalty, if something was planted within me, within some time, the devil will be telling, oh, and I think that is true. That's why he did this to me. That's why he did the other thing to me. That's why he did the other thing to me. You see? That's how the devil works. And sooner or later, if there was a prayer connection that I was praying for you, now I begin to withdraw. Because all of a sudden, there are things that have been planted in me that cast doubt concerning your relationship with me. And so, what happens? The kingdom of God goes down, and the kingdom of the devil does what? We have to be alert, church. Are you listening to me? We have to be alert. We have to be alert of these things. People who come to cause division. And this is exactly what Paul was speaking in the book of Romans. That are people, watch out. Huh? Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles. I mean, I was in Proverbs 16. There are six things, the six things that the Lord hates. And I told you, the one who sows discord among brothers. The one who sows discord among brothers and sisters. Are you listening to me? The Lord really hates that with a perfect hatred. Now, I want you to go to the book of Romans, and I've already read a few verses here. Romans 16, 17 to 18. Now, if you don't have a Bible, I know Sister Lorraine is going to put it up there. Romans 16, 17 to 18. Can you go there? Are you there already? This is another powerful part of the scripture. And I want you to listen very, very intently. Now, this is what the Bible says in my translation. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out. To do what? Come on, somebody say, watch out. I appeal to you, brothers, and of course, sisters. Put your name there. Sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacle contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. The Bible says, avoid them. Does that translation say that? The Bible says what? Now, can you shout avoid? The Bible says avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their appetites, and by their smooth talk. My goodness, when I read this, I said, no wonder this woman who called us with my wife, she was very gentle. And I knew her as an intercessor. She called me. Man, let me tell you. She said, Pastor, I really honor you. I respect you, man of God. You know? I respect you. You need to come. You know, we really need to come and fight this devil. Smooth words. They will never come harshly. They will never even speak the way I speak, you know, with the boom, blah, blah, blah. No. They'll come to you. That's how the devil uses them. They have a smooth way of talking. With their smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. The unsuspecting. God, I wish somebody can hear this. Because of your naivety, you are unsuspicious. I was unsuspecting. There's no way Mama Dama thought, kid, there's no way I would think that Mama Dama would lead me astray. Praying over monkeys and spirits of chameleons? I would never think so. Man, you see Mama Dama, even the way she dresses, she's a professional woman. She was actually a professional woman. You see her even walking on the streets, you'd never even think that she was any funny. But the moment she opens her mouth to bind the spirits of chameleons and the spirit of rats under people's houses, that's when you say, something is funny here. Are you listening to me, church? With their smooth talk and flattering ones, they deceive the hearts of their unsuspecting. Let me tell you, anybody can be unsuspecting. If you trust me so much, if you trust the way I speak, there's no way you think, Pastor Tony, maybe you'd. But if the spirit of the devil got into me and you are not aware, let me tell you, you're gonna be unsuspecting. Are you listening to me, church? Because I'm gonna come with smooth words. Oh, this Pastor Tony, I gotta listen to him. But the devil got into him and now he's the one ministering. You know? The Bible says, avoid them. And that's why we have to be alert. That's why I'm sounding this warning to tell you that the devil is on the loose. Are you listening to me? The devil is on the loose. Now listen to what somebody says about the word avoid. The word avoid is from, I believe, a Greek word that says ekleno, which means to turn away from, to turn aside, turning away from those who cause offenses and occasions of stumbling, turning away from division makers. And this is what one of the commentaries said about this part of the portion of the scripture. This is what it says. Shun the ministry. Are you listening to me, guys? Shun the ministry. Drop attendance on it. Depart far from them. Have no private conversations with them. Receive them not into your houses, nor bind them, nor bid them Godspeed. With such do not eat. Have no communion with them at the Lord's table. Withdraw from them as disorderly persons who act contrary to the doctrine and order of the gospel, and after the proper admonition, reject them from all fellowship with you. This is somebody's comment, but it's just explaining what it says in the book of Romans, chapter number 16, verse number 18. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. I don't expect any amen, actually. That's fine if you don't want to say amen, but I have to sound this warning to us, right? As a father of this house, I'll be negligent if I know that the devil is attacking some of us because of the things that are going on and I don't alert you. Okay? How do you cause divisions in the church? It's very easy to cause divisions in the church. For example, the way we play music. Somebody can just take the way we play music here and just say, you know what? Oh, I don't even like the way that Jose guy just even does the keyboard. You know? They do so by instigating falsehoods that are wrapped up with things that look like truth. Are you listening to me? Causing divisions in the church. Ooh, glory to Jesus. Now, when we cause divisions, this is what the Bible says. I mean, somebody says this. Speaking evil about another person is done by either raising false reports and bringing false charges. You know, pastors taking all the money of the church. That's why he is, you know, his belly is really going bigger and bigger. Because pastor is eating church money. You know. Pastor is going out with a girl. That's why, you know, after the service, they remain there behind there with a girl. What are they talking all the time? You know. I saw pastor, you know, in a club near, I think I saw him. I think I saw somebody who looks like him. And I think it must have been near club X and Y. What was he doing there? And he was standing with a chick there. And I think that, you know, when he was looking on the other side, but when I looked on the back, the structure of what I saw looked like Pastor Tony. And that is spoken to somebody unsuspecting. And it begins to believe, and oh, and you know, that person takes it. Oh, you know, I heard Pastor was found in club and he was drinking whiskey. It was not even reported. But now this person adds, he say he was actually holding a glass. The other person who gets the information, he say actually he was drunk. The other person who gets it, actually he had urinated on his pants. Division, causing falsehoods. Oh, you see, they're talking about that sister. Oh, that sister is evil. That sister, you know, I was told by another brother that he is normally, and actually that sister is the one who leads the worship there. She was found actually drunk, or she was found actually in the house of somebody. What were they doing? They were locking the house. Huh? Oh, you're talking about that pastor? That pastor is normally in the empowerment. He's a close friend of Pastor Tony. That pastor is a swindler. He swindled me $3,000. And he has actually, I heard that he has swindled other people. Falsehoods. Because the devil is using those people to create. It's not that something happened. But the devil knows that when you come here and lift up your hands, kneel down on a Sunday morning, you are furthering the kingdom of God. And nobody wants. Let me tell you. I thank God for Pastor Murefu. You know what he used to tell us? Pastor Wilson used to tell us, if you want to go to see congregations which are big, where things are not, and don't take me wrong, because there are congregations which are large and they are doing mighty things for God. But people who are church would want to go where their consciousness is not pleased. You know, they want to be comfortable. It's kind of like a social club. Empowerment Christian Center is not a social club. It is the church of Jesus Christ. This house may be a rental property, but it is a house that is called by the name of the Lord. When we come through the doors of that church, we are prepared to come and lift up our hands and worship our God. And something happens when we worship God in unity. Oh, somebody say amen. Something will happen. We destroy the forces and the machinization and the orchestration and the networks of demonic power that we are not physically able to see when we come together in unity. And the devil is against that unity. Are you listening to me? I've been labeled even names. I've had, you know. Another time, you know, we attended a meeting. Let me tell you, I know things. Sometimes you might think that I don't know what happens, but I know, but I pray. Somebody came, you know, in another meeting, you know, mom's meeting, Brother Ambrose. And this guy, I think he was a man from one of the European countries. And he looked at me, you know, he said, come here, I want to pray for you. And you see, and this is exactly what he said. Oh, man of God, I have seen the devil has been trying to take you like a whirlwind and almost taking you into a black hole. But I declare in the name of Jesus, the Lord has seen it and he is reversing. You cannot get into that black hole which is going to swallow you. And of course, you know, this meeting was full of people. You know, the next thing that I heard? Oh, pastor is really, he's gone. That man from Europe, he said he's in a black hole, he swallowed. Just give him a few days. Even his church is dying, you know, his business is coming down. That's what I heard, man. I am telling you to Julius, you know what? Everybody in that meeting, you can pull up that recorder and exactly go verbatim what that man said. He says, I see the devil trying to take you like in a black hole. And I can see you getting round and round. But God has determined to reverse that. God, let me tell you, I may have the prerogative to believe the words of that man. The Bible says, do not believe every word that is spoken to you. Write it down. Who are you to judge or to authenticate the words that have been spoken against some person? And you're using those words because you hate what God is doing in my life. You hate what God is doing at Empowerment Christian Center. You're using the words of a person to come and destroy our church. Shame on you. They said, Pastor, I heard Pastor is gone. He's gone. In fact, just give him a few days. He's no more. them, that man from London, that man. You don't even know that man. God, you have never, you don't even know him. That was a man who was invited in a meeting. You have never lived with him. How can you just say, you know, Pastor Munene comes here and he says, hey, you, brother, come here. You. I see you, what is happening. This one or two things are happening. And you said, oh, that man, that black African who came from all the way from here, he said that this is going to happen to you. Write it down. And people watch what's going on. You can say that all day long, but let me tell you, Jesus is on my side because I know what I do in the middle of the night. I talk to him and I speak to him and I tell him how greatly I love him. God, if I tell you how God has blessed me, if I tell you how God has opened up his abundance and he has opened his abundance, love and mercy upon my life, I cannot tell it you all. Who is anybody anyway to come and say that to Demodiru? Who are you? Shut up. How do you feel bad about it? Oh, that empowerment system. Oh, there are a few people who go there. Who told you God works with a full church? You know, we can be full of this church and we don't even, we are pushing on that doors, but you're all going to hell. Don't you know that? How many people go into their pushing and there's nothing that is happening out of there? But how about if we are just five, we come and call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord looks at the farmer's branch and he sees Francis. Lord, the Lord looks from help in heaven. He sees Julius and he's looking at every single one of us. He says, I see that church, even though there might be few. Oh God, I thank God because of Paul and Silas. There were only two, but they caused the foundations of the jail to be shaken. Look at Gideon. Gideon, he looked down on himself. He didn't think that he amounted to much. Yet the angel of the Lord comes and looks at him and tells him, thou man of valor, arise because I want to use you. Glory to Jesus. Who was this man who went and, is it Gideon, Pastor? He had so many multitudes and say, oh, I can't work with these people. Please reduce them. I need you to have only 300. 300 people only. God doesn't use a multitude. God, in fact, let me tell you, if the Bible says that one can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000, I am not worried about these empty seats here. I'm not, because you know what? I am telling you the truth. I'm not worried to see these empty seats. I would love people who are unchurched, not people migrating from another church to come to this church. No, if they're in another church, let them stay in that church. And please do not invite somebody from another church wanting them to move them from this church. No. Look for somebody who does not go to church. Tell them, I love my church. Come and see whether you like what you have. Don't invite people if they are going to another church. Bless them. Let them serve the pastor there. Are you listening to me? Bless them. Tell them you can come and visit, but I'm not really removing you from your church. Stay in your church. Serve there. Okay? Unless they are worshiping the devil and you know it, then you can tell them you are worshiping the devil. You need to come where I go because we worship the Most High God. So look for people who don't go to church. And I'm challenging you, church. Tell people you work with that you know that are not born again. Tell them, hey, Sunday, what are your plans this Sunday? Let us go to the house of the Lord. Who knows, man, you may be pulling them out of the kingdom of the devil. Because that is exactly what we need to be doing. Not moving people from one church to another. Are you listening? This is what is happening in Dallas, Fort Worth. People are moving from this church. Oh, you're moving from Pastor Jack's church. You're coming to empowerment, from empowerment to Pastor Jack's or to Pastor, what is that, Pastor? Pastor Munio, Pastor, what is this, Pastor? Pastor Ruto, who is the other pastor? Please remind me. Huh? Pastor Mogo, Pastor Matthew, St. Matthew, you're moving there. And there are also people like that, you know? The spirit of Muhangaiko. They are moving from one place. They listen to this pastor. They are receiving it and it's good. Oh, I like the way. Somebody came and told me one time. He said, I want to go to Pastor Matthew. I mean to Pastor Mogo of St. Matthew's. Because he sings some songs of the old. You know, the Kikuyu songs. And so, yeah, old school, you know. Something like that. So, and he has a lot of jokes. And he say, I feel I want to be connected to those people because they even speak my language. So please, Pastor, release me. I said, is that a problem? Yeah. Have you prayed about it? Yes. Kneel down, then I'm going to declare a blessing over you. And so I prayed for them and I said, go and listen to that pastor. Okay? Because that's where you want to be connected. To be honest with you, church, let me tell you, I'm not threatened. If you feel like you want to go serve another pastor, come and tell me. This is the way you do it. If you feel like, oh God, every time I come here, I don't like it, and I feel like it is time for me to go, and I feel it's time for me to do this, the best way to do it, come to Pastor Tony. Pastor Tony is a very gentle man. You know, come and tell me, Pastor, I've come here, I feel like it's time to go, and I feel I need to be serving this pastor. I feel I need to start a ministry. I need to start going to downtown preaching to people, and I feel if I continue coming to church, I'm not going to be able to do this. So please, can you release me? I will ask you these two questions. Have you prayed about it? I really love you. I love the ministry that you've been doing here. And if you've not been doing nothing, I'll still say, I've been praying for you because I do. Are you sure you want to go, please? Have you prayed about it? Yes. Okay. I want you to kneel down here because I want to release you with a blessing. Let me tell you guys. Somebody called me the other day. Somebody who, I don't even know how to tell you this. You may not know the person. I may not even tell you the name. But this person, I have labored. You know those ones of you wake up in the night and they are telling you, Pastor, you need to pray for this. Pastor, you need to pray for this. And then I'm praying and I'm agonizing. And we're in a relationship. I'm calling her and asking her, oh, how is this thing that we're praying for? How is it going? Oh, this is going good and everything. And I'm praying and I'm agonizing. And we're in a relationship. And this person comes and we pray. And they're praying with my wife and they're praying with other people. And I can see the zeal and I can see the loyalty. And suddenly I don't see them in the church and I'm calling them and they don't answer the phone. And I'm writing them and I just received a simple text. Thank you, Pastor, for praying for us. Keep praying for us. And the next thing that I receive is this person telling me, oh, Pastor, we are not going to be coming to this church because, you know, we love you. Thank you so for the sacrifice that you've done for us. Thank you for all these things you did for us, even gathering the people to come and help us. And we are not going to be coming. And I'm asking them, what is wrong? What is it? What happened? What happened? I thought we were praying. I thought you opened up your heart. You told me about deep things that you would not even share with anybody. About you, even your personal life. You trusted me with your personal life. And it's not that I opened up my mouth to tell anybody about it. Did you hear about whatever you shared with me? No, Pastor. No, nothing, Pastor. I have nothing against you. You're a man of God and I honor you, but I will not gonna be coming to church. I told her because of what? And they said, no, I'm not ready to share with you. So I said, okay. I told them, this is exactly, if I were you, this is what I'll do. I'll bring you and your spouse and I'll come to the man of God and I'll tell him, please release us with a blessing so that it can be well with you. But I don't know what hurt you so much that you went, and I don't know what happened. I remember nights and hours that I've agonized about them. And let me tell you, it grieves you. It grieves you. And what the Spirit of God, after seeking the Lord, because I really asked the Lord what happened, this is exactly what the Lord told me. People have planted division. People have spoken words, falsehoods into the life of this woman. And so how she valued me, or how she took the church, has completely been polluted because of people wanting to bring the devil wanting to bring the division. Are you listening to me? Please, are you listening to me? It's very, very important. Be alert. Anybody who comes to tell you, Pastor Tony does this and this, have you witnessed him doing this? Pastor Tony has eaten your money. Do you have any proof that Pastor Tony has eaten your money? Pastor Tony was found with a chilundika somewhere in downtown Dallas. Did you see him with a chilundika? No, we used to call him. No, there's a name we used to call, not chilundika. Pastor, please, I'm not you. We used to call them, what was that? Huh? Kalumbandika, that's what I wanted to say. Kalumbandika, sorry. Pastor, with all respect, it is Kalumbandika, not chilundika. I saw Pastor Tony with a kalumbandika. They are in downtown. And this Kalumbadika had a small skirt and they were doing something. Did you see him? He is your man of God. Let me tell you guys. You really need to take time to honor the man of God in your midst. That's what the Bible says. A man of God is due honor. Respect Pastor Francis. Respect Pastor Julia. Speak good things about them. Respect Pastor Muruti. Respect Sammy. Sammy is always there for you guys. I dare you not to speak anything negative about this man of God. About Pastor Julius. Don't speak anything negative about them. If you find people speaking negative about them, all you do is take a few steps forward, backward, slowly, and disengage. Do what? Disengage. Are you listening to me? I'm just about to finish. Okay. James 4, 11. James 4, 11. What I'm speaking here is very important. So we better take it to heart. Okay, this is what the Bible says. James 4, 11. Do not speak evil against one. Do not speak evil against one another. Brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. I'm not even going to speak about that because it's self-explanatory. Do not speak evil against another. In other words, if you speak evil against another brother, what you're saying is the blood of Jesus Christ that has redeemed that brother, the blood of Jesus that has redeemed that sister is worthless. So you're speaking evil against the blood that has delivered that brother. Are you listening to me? And how many of us don't have weaknesses? Unless you belong to Pluto or Jupiter. As a matter of fact, Brother Israel, listen. If we are to open all the hearts of the people, by the way, Israel is in the house. If we are to open the hearts of each and every single one of us, and the Lord asked us, oh, can you see what happens in the brother? You know, without even disregarding that he's going to feel bad. And opens up the heart of brother, Pastor Julius, and opens up the hearts of each and every one of us, you will go, wow, ginyo nashiro. I can't believe it. Because as a matter of fact, no one here is invincible. Everyone has something that he goes through. Are you listening to me? So do not look at my weakness and pin me down because of my weaknesses, because you also have weaknesses. Before you remove that little thing from my eyes, remove the log. That's what the Bible says. You have a log that is really disturbing. Remove it first so that you can even be able to see my little thing. Oh God, this is good. Are you liking it? Do not speak evil against each other. Because if you judge other people, then you're saying that the word of the Lord that saw that person in their sins, the Lord who saw them in their sins and redeemed them anyway and delivered them, you are judging it and you're saying it was not even worth it. So do not speak evil against each other. How can you speak good about each other person? The Bible says love covers a multitude of. Let there be more love so that when there's more love, it will cover a multitude of. Because as a matter of fact, when we are put together, there's going to be somebody who's going to say a misplaced word. But as a matter of fact, because I have so much love for them, more grace will abide. Are you listening to me? What happened to grace? What happened to grace? And I'm not talking about grace, you know, Ken's grace. I'm talking about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? Today, if somebody says something, even a little, within a very, it's like man, it's like we have a little BBC in our midst. If somebody does something little, even little, you will hear it all over Dallas. Oh, no, I can't read it. You don't even say praise the Lord. You don't even say the Lord be glorified. I am doing well. The Lord has blessed me. How about you, my sister? Oh, if you tell them that you know I've been going this, don't worry, because I'm going to be in the gap interceding for you. It is going to be well in your life. Let me tell you, I'm telling you the truth. I am not going to answer any phone of anybody who picks up the phone and tells me about what somebody wrong is happening to somebody or what have you seen about these people, what do you think about them. What do I think about them? My God, I have also my issues. I'm worried, what am I going to do about me? Before I can think about what I'm going to do about somebody else, I'm going to worry what I'm going to do about myself. And I'm going to cry to God on your behalf. We have to love one another. We have to stick together. Empowerment Christian Center, listen to me. Listen to the voice of your pastor. Listen to the voice of God speaking through your pastor. We have to stick together. We have to love one another. We have to love one another, regardless. And put away things that would come and destroy us. Be alert, because you're going to be caught up and suspecting. Are you listening to me? Okay, this is going to be, I think, the second last. Let me see. Please. I'm even speaking in my mother tongue today. Galatians 6, verse 1. Galatians. This is what the Bible says. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Have you heard this happening today in the church? It's rare This is a rare commodity. Brothers, if you want to discord in transgression, who are spiritual, that means there has to be some people who are spiritual, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. In other words, he's telling you, do not think that that person who did that sin is so worse, like a devil, and you think that I'm the holy one here. You know those, holier than thou attitude? Oh, you see that woman? Did you hear what she did? Let me tell you, if you are given an opportunity, you can do worse. You can even be worse than a devil. I am telling you people, there are people who can be worse than a devil. Given an opportunity, it is just by the grace. So when you see somebody's transgression, pray to the Lord of the harvest to protect them. And gently restore them back to faith. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If somebody does a sin, it is not the next opportunity you get a phone to call your friend to tell them, hey, you heard what this sister did. Did you hear about that pastor? Did you hear about that brother? What you need to do is pick up your phone and call 911 to heaven. Tell God, my father, as you leave, that brother will stand. That sister will stand because she has been doing marvelous works for the kingdom of God. Lord, remember how they have stood in the gap to pray and intercede for men that have been down. Look the way God, she comes to church. Look the way she serves, Lord. I refuse to lose this brother. And let me tell you, the Lord will hear that prayer. And after you're done with that, go and send your pastor. If they did mess, get your hand around them and genuinely tell them, brother, I love you and I care for you.
I love you too.
You know, and it's going to be well.
Amen.
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 Not like, look at him now. This person who has been saying that he is holy. Huh? You're telling everybody, look at him now. You're not supposed to, he's a member of your body. You belong to that body. If you tear him, let me tell you, I've told you one time, how many of you have this pinky finger? If it is sick, you are not going to go to work. Every member of your body is going to cooperate to make this pinky finger get well. You can even call off duty. You can call sick because of this finger. Do you want to try? Today, go home. As you're chopping your potatoes, don't. Okay, don't. My mommy is like, Pastor, what are you saying? Okay, don't do that. But what I'm trying to tell you, we are members of one body. When one member is suffering, we are all suffering. So we are supposed, if you see the nakedness of a sister, if you see a nakedness of a brother, go cover him. Cover him. Protect him. Let not the wolves come and kill him. Mine, like in this dream, I was trying to beat this lion. But this leopard is targeting to this brother. And I'm like, what did this brother do? And who gave this animal so creativity? What wrong did this brother do so that this animal knows that this brother has done me wrong? Man, and I prayed for that family. God, almost the whole night I prayed and cried for this family and prayed for the church and I prayed for you so that the enemy will not find you. When the enemy comes, he will find you covered by the blood of Jesus. Because, you know, we are covering each other by the blood of Jesus. When there are a multitude of sins, we are covering each other by the blood of Jesus. When the enemy comes, he said, Ogo, utirimodo. There's nobody here. There's nobody to tell us. Because when I look where Gidi sits, it's blood. He's seeing blood. When I see where Ruth sits, it's the blood of Jesus. When I see Baba Vicky where he sits, it's the blood of Jesus. Where I see where Betty sits, it's the blood of Jesus. He will not have any opportunity to attack anybody because you are covering each other by the blood of Jesus. But wait until somebody who has decided to come out of the covering. If the devil finds you, he'll say, I cannot see anybody but this one. Paul, I know. Anyway, let me not even go there because I want to conclude. Okay. James 5:16, don't even turn there, read. I was going to read Matthew 18:15, but you can go read that at home. Matthew 18:15-20, it talks about the same thing we were talking about. If your brother sins against you, go tell him. Actually, this is very important. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Okay? Do not pick up the phone and tell somebody else what they did to you. Go tell him. That's what the Bible says. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If somebody sins against you or faults against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. This is the Bible. You don't hear so many people talking about this today, but it's relevant. You have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. You listen? And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile. In other words, like a person who is not even born again and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose, and we're not interested with that for right now, but it's very, very important. James 5:16. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Hebrews 13:17. And I have one more and then we are going to close. Obey, okay, listen, this one very powerful. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to. Now, why you don't want to say to them? Obey your leaders and submit to. Obey your leaders and submit to. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. I will give an account to each and every one of you. How did I shepherd you? How did I take care of you? Did I stay in the gap interceding for you? You know, you don't have to come and open my closet to see who I'm praying for. But I can guarantee you that I've spent some hours praying for some people here. Crying out to God, man. When I'm driving that truck, maybe in the middle of Mississippi, I'm praying and crying out for your family. Because I know I'll give an account to the Lord. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that will be of no advantage to you. In other words, when the man of God is not happy concerning your life, there are certain things that will be happening in you and you're wondering. Let me tell you, not everything that we encounter, bad things, come from the devil. Let me repeat that again. Not every challenges or thing, bad things that are happening in your life come as a result of the devil. Some of the things may come to you because of disobedience, right? There are consequences for disobedience, dishonoring the man of God, dishonoring the word of the Lord. You might have as a consequence of disobedience some things happening in your life. So that's why the Bible says it, and for that will be of no advantage to you, for you to dishonor the man of God, for you to not submit to them. It will be of no advantage to you. So when you submit yourself to the counsel of your leaders, it is advantageous to you because the Lord will come and protect you because they are praying over your souls. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Church, are you listening to me? Okay, the last portion of the scripture. 1 Timothy 5:19 to 20. This is the last one. Do not admit a charge against an elder. When was the last time you had this scripture read in the church? Do not admit a charge against an elder or a pastor or an overseer except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. This is the Bible. In other words, you heard something about Pastor Karanja. Oh, Pastor Karanja. Oh, he did this and did that. And you're taking it to the airwaves. You're calling Kameme and Kayukamu Winki and everybody because of what Pastor Karanja did. Do not admit a charge against an elder, unless there are two or three witnesses. In other words, you have to authenticate. This man, the man of God, let me tell you, I wish you know the position that God puts a man of God. God speaks to them and he reveals certain things. There are things that God reveals to me that I may not even ever share with you. Because some of the things are very personal to you and you know them. But I pray and I pray and I come against those things in the name of Jesus. If there are blessings coming, I say, God, open up the whole enchilada for that blessing. Do not withhold even a single iota. Release everything to them. You know? So man of God in your life is very important. The men that your leaders, obey them, listen to them. Talk good about them. Talk good about your pastor. You know? Cover him wherever he is being. If you hear people talking about your pastor, say, I'm not. I cannot. Listen, guys. This is where my relationship with you stops. You cannot speak evil against the man of God who speaks over my life. When was the last time you said that? You heard people talking about maybe the badness or how this church is doing. And you're saying, you know, you're participating. Even though you don't want to say, you say, yeah, you know, people, that's how people are others, you know. People are like that, you know. You're participating. No, say, you know what? This is where I cross the line. You cannot speak about the house that I got to call upon God concerning my family, concerning my finances, concerning my everything, concerning me, concerning my future. That pastor speaks to God on my behalf. So I cannot speak anything negative concerning him. And you know what? This is where I cross the red line. And let me tell you, God, when God sees that, he is happy. And he's going to bless you. And he's going to take you places. And he's going to open up avenues that you never knew that were existed. And he's going to open up your mind to see greatness. And he's going to open up just because you supported the work of the ministry. Do not be a tearer of the work of God. Are you listening to me? Very, very important. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. I'm not going to speak about the second part, but I wanted to talk about do not speak evil against or admit a charge against an elder unless there are two or three witnesses. Be careful. In fact, the Lord says, and I'm concluding, that, you know, when you come into the Holy of Holies, when you enter the sanctuary, let your words be few. Yeah? Are you thinking about it, man? Let your words be few. When you come approach the throne room of God, the God Almighty who created the universe, who has sustained us, who protects you on the highways, he's the one who orders the steps of your children, the steps of your career, the steps of everything that relates to you. Be careful. Let your words be few. When you lift up your hands, worship him with the whole of your heart, worship him with the whole of your mind, worship and give him your all. Give him your all. Whether you're working, whether you're in a place where people are not seeing you, honor God and God will honor you. Let us honor God Empowerment Christian Center. Let us stick together. Let us not tear each other. Let us be watchful for people who are going to divide us. Are you listening to me? The Bible says avoid them. Stand on your feet right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want us to do a special prayer, and this is going to be done by every single one of us. I want everybody who is born again in this house, this is what I want you to do. For just half a minute, just 30 seconds, I want you to come against the spirit of the adversary that has come in different forms and shapes to come and distort the division and I mean the unity of this house. I want you to do that from the bottom of your heart. If you're not prepared to do so, it is okay. It is okay. But maybe God will give you a time when you're ready to do it, do it. But right now, I need somebody who can sincerely lift up a cry. You don't even have to move. You don't even have to jump. You don't have to. I mean, it's the attitude of your heart. 30 seconds. Rebuke the spirit of the adversary. Rebuke the spirit of the revelers that are out there speaking against this church. This church is the house of God. This is not about Pastor Tony's come work. If I die today, Empowerment Christian Center will still continue. I'm just a servant. I'm just, oh God, Lord, you know. I'm just your servant, Lord. And I'm just a man like this other man. I know I have weaknesses. I know I have shortcomings, Lord. But you've just picked me up, Lord, to lead, to be the shepherd of this house. It's not that I'm better than any one of them. Most of them are more educated than me. Who am I? This is not about me. It is about you, Lord Jesus. And so anybody who comes against the work of the Lord in that empowerment, they're not coming against Pastor Tony or any other leader, but they're coming against you. And right now, I take power and authority in the name of Jesus. Rebuke the adversary in the name of Jesus. Demonic activity in the name of Jesus in high places that are scheduled and have scheduled assaults upon this work in the name of Jesus. Right now, I come against any assault. I come against any networking of the devil in the name of Jesus. 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 You demons of hell, your work will be fruitless. I paralyze the activity in the kingdom of the devil. I paralyze any arrows in the name of Jesus. I render them powerless in the name of Jesus. I pray for every family. I pray for every sister. I pray for every brother. Demons that have been assigned to terrorize their lives, God, I hide them under the blood. 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 In the name of Jesus, I pray that as a church, we are raising up our antennas so that we may know and be aware of the things that surround us. There are people who have been sent by the kingdom of the devil to come and cause divisions in our church. But as a servant of the Most High God, I declare that the Empowerment Christian Center and the members thereof, Lord, anybody connected to this body, Father God will be safe in the name of Jesus. Prosper them, Lord. Prosper them, Lord. Create new avenues. Create new ways for their lives in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you and I bless your name, Father. That we shall love one another, that we shall honor one another, that we shall esteem one another, that we shall be the brother's keeper, each brother's keeper, that we shall be the protector of each other in the name of Jesus. Nothing from our mouth is going to be spoken to rebel against another brother or sister because we are members of one body in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Whatever God has stagnated in the lives of any one of these, Lord, I pray that you may create an oasis in the name of Jesus. God, let them be like plants that are, let them be like trees that are planted by the waterside. Oh God, which know no season of dryness in the name of Jesus. I pray that their roots will usher deeper. Yes, and get the nutrients from you in the name of Jesus. 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 Father, we thank you. And we bless you. Lord, right now, I take power and authority as a servant of God. I come against every tongue that has been spoken against this body. Every tongue that has risen against each one of these brothers. Father God, I render it powerless in the name of Jesus. I render every tongue. I condemn every tongue that has spoken against every these brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. Those that are looked down upon them. God, I pray that you shall touch them and change them in the name of Jesus. Father, do your thing in this house. Do your thing in this house. We repent, Father, if we sinned against you. Father God, we are apologetic if we did anything against the Lord. Father God, if we didn't sing things that never made you feel happy or happy about us, my God, as a church, we repent before you, my Father, in the name of Jesus. Take over control. Holy Spirit, visit people in their dreams. Visit people in their visions, in their places of work. Visit them. Show them how they need to be active in the work of the Lord. Show them how they need to participate. Show them how they need to what they need to do in this house. That you shall be glorified in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Somebody who loves the Lord, shout a big amen. Amen. Come on, give a hand praise unto the Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord to forgive us of the, you know, I felt there's a lot of unforgiveness. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of there's a word that was coming in me that I can't, offense, a lot of offense. Let us just release ourselves to the Lord and just ask the Lord to cleanse us and to purge us. And whoever you may be holding, you know, in our midst, whoever has hurt you, just tell the Lord to help you to let go. Because, you know, if you do not let go, then, you know, that person maybe has already let go and they didn't even know that they offended you and they're just going through their life. And, you know, they are being blessed, but you're stagnated where you are. But if you want a blessing, if you want the Lord to open up those doors for you, to take you where he needs to take you, you have to let go. You have to let go so that God can bless you, so that God can take you where he wants you to be, so that you can even hear the voice of the Lord even as he speaks to you. Why don't you just open up our hearts before the Lord? Open up your mouths before the Lord. Ask the Lord to search your heart. Just release whoever you may be holding this morning. It is crucial that you just release. Father, we release anybody, my God. We ask you, Lord of glory, to help us forgive, oh God. Father, we forgive those that have offended us, Lord of glory. We forgive those that have hurt us, oh God. We forgive those, my God of glory, that have done things to us, Lord of glory, that has held us back in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we release them, oh God. We let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever heartache may be in our lives, Lord of glory, my God, we ask you to cleanse us, oh God. We ask you, Father, that Lord, you shall bring healing, Father. Let the healing balm of Gilead flow in our lives this morning, flow in our hearts this morning. Create in us clean hearts, oh God. Renew a right spirit within us in the name of Jesus Christ. We let go, my Father. We yield to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Have your way in our marriages, Father. Have your way, King of glory. Have your way, Holy Spirit of the living God. My God, we speak love of our Father. We speak the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace in the name Christ to reign through our lives, Lord of glory. The peace of God, our Father. Father, have your way. Holy Spirit of the living God, start dealing with each one of us, our Father. Start working in each one of us, oh God. For we know it is not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. Father, we declare that we shall walk in love. We shall walk in unity, our Father. We shall walk in oneness, oh God. Thank you for the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ upon your people. I declare the mind of Christ in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we bless you, Father. We honor you, oh God. We receive your word, our Father. Oh, we let go, oh God. We bless you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Great is your
faithfulness. Yes, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.